This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
Hey guys, it's Brittany Payton, and thanks for checking out another episode of The Sweet Life right here on the BetRivers Network.
Well, welcome into another episode of The Sweet Life here on the BetRivers Network. I'm Brittany Payton, and I'm so happy for today's guest. He is an ESPN analyst. He's an author of multiple books. We got a new one coming out. We're going to get to that. And also, I'm so happy to call him a friend, Sam Acho. Sam, thank you so much. It's so good to see your face. I feel like when I was back in Chicago, we used to talk like pretty much on the weekly. When I was on Fox, we would talk, we'd be catching up on what was happening in the NFL. And it's been a while. So I'm so happy to see you and for you to be coming on the podcast with me. I really appreciate it.
It's so good to see you. I remember back in Chicago, that was back in what, 15, 16, 17, 18, maybe even the 2019. We would see each other almost weekly. Obviously, the Walter Payton Man of the Year, I was nominated for that a couple times. We talked again then. We got a chance to do some stuff in the community in Chicago. So we kind of spent a lot of time. And then you went to Phoenix, and now you're enjoying the warm weather. It's currently snowing in Chicago. So I think I might be joining you sooner than later.
I know. And I know you were out here for a while. So you know what it's like out here in Phoenix. And I know I was asking, I was saying, gosh, what's the weather like today? And I know the Midwest is getting all this snow. And I was saying, I've only been out here 2 years, but I've gotten soft, Sam, because it is now, you know, waking up in the morning, it's in the 40s. On the news, they're talking about frost warnings and we're all freezing, bundling up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so cold. I'm so cold. I'm like, talking about, I've done polar vortexes in Chicago. I got to check myself sometimes or remind myself this is not cold.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny. I grew up in Texas. My parents are from Nigeria, so like, I would go to Nigeria often, and Christmas and New Year's we'd spend there. I grew up in Dallas. I went to school at the University of Texas, so that's Austin. I got drafted to the Arizona Cardinals, so that's Phoenix. So like the first 25 or 26 years of my life, it was warm, and then I came to Chicago. And then I came and now like today it's snowing. It's like 20 something or 30 something and snowing. And I'm like, this is beautiful. I love it. And I was talking to my dad earlier who's in Dallas, and he's like, man, it's freezing in Dallas. It's 40 or 30, whatever. I'm like, nah, dude, you have no idea. This is perfect.
Yeah,
weather.
As I said, gotta check myself again. And I'm like, you know what? It's not that bad. But you mentioned too, you know, we met years ago. Obviously, Super Bowl is coming up and everyone's getting ready for the big game. But for me, my favorite part about this time of the year is giving out the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And you were a nominee for the Bears a couple of times. And that's where we really got to meet and got to know each other. And me, my family, we just loved you so much because you're such an amazing person. You are an amazing player on the field, but you just have one of the biggest hearts. And you, you know, that award is really about what you're doing off the field and giving back. And that is something you continue to do even after retiring. So catch me up because you've got so much going on. So catch me up on what has been going on with you and the work that you're still doing in Chicago.
Definitely. Yeah. So you're right. So back in 2020, right before COVID, was my last year in the NFL. So I finished my career, my years in Chicago, played 4 years there after my 4 years in Arizona, played 1 year in Tampa Bay. So a 9-year NFL career. And then COVID happened. And a lot of us were transitioning, including me. I was trying to figure out, do I still want to play football? Do I want to do other things during that 2018 and 19 season when there was so much social and unrest and Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee in the NFL and a lot of people weren't happy about it. I discovered this passion of what if I could bring people together and create a change in my community, which happened to be Chicago. That was one of those years I was nominated for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year. And what I decided to do was just try to bring people together in the Bears organization, specifically players, coaches, staff, even media. And we raised some money and gave it to some different organizations that we partnered with. Well, that was when I was playing. Well, since then I stopped playing, but that passion still was there. And so, and the passion almost got reignited from a tragedy And it was during COVID, after seeing not only Ahmaud Arbery get killed, but George Floyd get killed. And, you know, we're joking about Arizona. When COVID happened, I actually fled, if you will, from Chicago to Arizona. I wanted somewhere to train, didn't know what to do. So I was there kind of training and at an Airbnb, just trying to get ready for a potential new season that I didn't know if I was going to play or not. And that's when that news came. And it was devastating, right? Sports were canceled, number one. We're seeing like a lot of like societal unrest in like the disparities between the haves and the have-nots, number two. You know, toilet paper, you can't get some of these basic necessities. And then George Floyd was killed. And that was really this moment of like deep sadness and confusion and pain and frustration. And I remember, I think we actually talked around that time before then. There was a situation I think may have happened with you. And I was saying, man, how do you process this? Yep. And I was processing as well. And the long and short of it was, I felt like I needed to get back to Chicago. I was kind of praying and trying to process things. And on my way back, I took a four-day road trip from Phoenix back to Vernon Hills, Illinois, close to the Bears facility. And on the last day of that road trip, I was in St. Louis at a hotel and I turned the TV on. And it was whether CNN, Fox, whatever. And the first thing you saw was Chicago looting, rioting, chaos. And I'm watching. I'm like, it seemed so distant, yet I knew it was home. And so while trying to process the death of George Floyd and seeing what I'm seeing on the news, I get a call from a friend of mine who is a professor at North Park University in Illinois and says, Sam, I don't know if you see what I'm seeing, but you have to do something. We can't just sit by. You have to do something. And I'm thinking like, why are you calling me and what could I even do? I'm not playing anymore. Sports are canceled. Who's going to even listen? He said, Sam, like it's time. And so around that time, and you'll remember this, Brittany, I started making some calls and I think you were the people who was reached out as well and say, hey, what can we do together? Right. It was like, what can we do together? And so it was me. It was you. It was some guys from the Bears, the Bulls, the Cubs, the Blackhawks, the White Sox, the Chicago Sky, right. Our WNBA team. We all came together and we listened to kids from the West Side and the South Side. We came together with police officers and listened, athletes, right? People in media, and listened to people's pain. And that began the process of realizing, what if we can turn this pain into purpose?
I remember getting that call from you, and you know, you had mentioned just wanting to do something and you were just jumping in. And that's the thing. You started making calls to people from all over, like you said, from all the different sports, and you got this group together, this collective group of everyone to really go into one of the worst, you know, hit areas in the city, you know, the West Side. You hear, if you're not from Chicago and you don't know, but the West Side is, there's so much that is going around there. And these kids that live in this area, to be able to go in, to be there, to bring them out, for them to get to see some of their idols and these people that they look up to, and just be able to have those conversations, just to have that talk, to be able to express, you know, the feelings that they're going through and what was going on in the world at the time, but then also just their lives on the daily that they live through, living in that neighborhood, in that area. And that was kind of just the spark, but you continued on after that. I know, because I left and I moved. I then switched. We swapped places. I came to Arizona. And I know the next thing you did is you were saying, you know, especially in the areas in the West Side, a lot of families don't have access to healthy food. They don't have access to fresh food. And the next thing was going in and establishing a place like that where they could go and have access to these things. So that was kind of the next tranche once I had moved out here. But tell me about that. And, you know, really building a food market and some of the other work that you continue to do on the West Side there.
Yeah. Well, after we sat and we listened, Brittany, you'll remember that some of the athletes, you may have been on that bus as well. We actually went from listening and sitting with the kids for an hour and some change, and the police officers, to taking a tour of the West Side, like the hardest hit parts, like the parts that you see on TV where it's like broken glass and chaos. We like went there.
Yeah.
We got out of our comfort zone, got out of like our bubbles, and we went there. And we expected to see, we didn't know what to expect. But for me, I wasn't surprised. I did see, you know, buildings boarded up and I did see glass on the ground. But what did surprise me was the other thing that I saw. I mentioned maybe offline, my parents are from Nigeria. So I would go back to their village every year when I was little. Well, I'm driving through this community and take out the broken glass and the boarded up buildings. Some of the parts of that community look like a developing country. Like people, no, the government had not invested. And not only that, I was with Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward was one of the guys, Chicago Cubs baseball World Series. And he's just looking out the window. And I think I saw what he saw because I asked him, I said, hey, Jason, I got a quick question. While you're looking, because maybe you see what I see, I said, we've been on this bus for 15, 20 minutes. How many grocery stores have you seen in this community? He said, maybe one. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, that sounds about right. I said, how many liquor stores have you seen? And he said, over 10. And so even though we thought we were going for one thing, we actually drove into a food desert. Specifically, like you do the research, in that in a half mile radius, there are 2 grocery stores and 17 liquor stores in a half mile radius. And like, this is where people live. And we thought, okay, we do something, whatever. And as we're on our way back, one of the young girls on the bus, 15-year-old, 14-year-old girl named Azaria, she was on that bus with us. And before we exited the bus, she got on the speaker on the bus and she said, hey, I know some of y'all see this as a field trip. You can come and check out my community and go back home. But some of us choose to live here and we choose to call this place home. So I hope that you'll remember that when you go back home. And we did. And so essentially the next several weeks, we would come back every week and meet with these young kids. And at the same time, we were raising money to see what if we could actually purchase one of the liquor stores and convert it into a food mart. And so we raised the money. We asked the kids. They said yes. They said they wanted. They said they needed. They designed it, came up with a name. They procured the food, right? And so in about 4 weeks, we raised $500,000 between 17 pro athletes. And we bought this liquor store on the west side of Chicago and turned it into a food mart. The food mart is pop-up, open-air food mart. And the kids, we call them young entrepreneurs, decided to call it. They called it Austin Harvest because the neighborhood, as you'll remember, it's called the Austin neighborhood. So Austin Harvest, providing community through fresh food. And so we bought it in 4 weeks. And about 7 weeks later, we tore down, had this liquor store tear down party, right? We tore down the liquor store. We invited, I think you were there as well, but Roger Goodell came, Mayor Lori Lightfoot came, the superintendent of Chicago Police Department, David Brown came, all those athletes and more came, media came, and we tore down this liquor store. And as I mentioned, that was like after the 4 week mark, 7 weeks later, built up Austin Harvest. And that was a seminal moment in so many ways, this moment of like, wow, like change can happen, but it was only temporary, right? We built this in the summer and Chicago is cold. This is open air thing. And essentially after about 10 weeks or so, it got, November, December getting cold. The kids said, what if we could make this permanent? And so we went around the next few months later, connected with some media and did this 24-hour radiothon where we invited a lot of the same people and raised over $600,000-$700,000, and now they're working on making that temporary food mart into a permanent one. And so that's what I've been doing since. And I actually talk about this in my book that I just wrote.
Well, I'm going to say, because what you did is just, this is just praise to you, and this is just the person that you are, speaks to your heart, and that you truly just care about people and want to make that change. And like you said, when you first got that call, you're like, well, what can I do? How can I help? What can I do? But it really speaks to, and I see the book that's behind you, Change Starts With You. And it really did. It started with you, and it had, you got all of us in and adding extra hands to come in and be a part of that. And it really made such a difference. And it's amazing. And like you said, getting us out of their comfort zone, because I grew up born and raised in Chicago, lived there, my whole life, lived in the city for 15 years. But how often was I going through the Austin neighborhood? Never. I don't think I'd really been there once. Maybe if there was a restaurant that we went to a couple times with Chicago's Best, and that took me into different neighborhoods of Chicago. But that's not a place where I really got to just see with my eyes and driving down the streets and just seeing the difference that you can go through from one neighborhood and into the next. And you've got police cameras up on every corner and you've got cop cars stationed, around every block. And then, like you said, seeing the rundown of the buildings and not having the necessities. And you're right. We got to go. And then we got to go back home to all of the comforts and the things that we need. So what you are doing there is huge. And it's just one. And that change sparks so much from there. So my guess is that's kind of where you got this name for your new book that's about to come out and be released in March. So tell me about change starts with you and really what you have put into that book and why you wanted to share that with the public.
Yeah. It's this story, Brittany. It's before we talked, I remember seeing you post something about an interaction you had. I think you might have been at a drive-thru.
Yeah, it was a drive-thru at a Walgreens. And this was at the height of when all of this kind of unrest was going on. And interaction with a man who was making some racist remarks. And again, just that time. And so we were kind of discussing that in the world that we're in, and that's something that just can happen on the daily.
And it reminded me, like, even as you're saying it, we forget about these things, but you live with this. Like, it's hard to forget. I had a call the other day. I mean, I don't know how somebody got my number. They were calling me and making the, like, when I say racist stuff, like, maybe like a tenth of what, like, you know, you think about like when just celebrate Martin Luther King Day, right? Think about like what he heard. Maybe like a tenth, an ounce of that. But it's like that stuff still exists. And so if we want to see change in our communities, change in ourselves and our lives, it starts with us. And I didn't think I had what it took to make any kind of change. What am I supposed to do? I'm not a freedom like fighter. What do you want me to do? But it was like, man, well, you have relationships, you have a platform, you have friendships. Okay, what if I don't play in the professional athlete? Okay, well, you're on TV. Okay, what if I'm just a regular person? Well, you have like people who listen to you, right? There's a lady who I met, a 70-year-old lady from Houston, who has relationships, a white lady who grew up like saying, man, some of this stuff that I see isn't right. Why are there separate water fountains? Like, why is this going? You know what I mean? And so like this book really was born out of this place of what if the change that we hope to see in this world isn't as far off as we all thought? Mm-hmm. What if it takes having some authentic and real conversations, being vulnerable with one another, me seeing you at that moment, Brittany, had me call and reach out just to check in, but also say, hey, would you want to join me? And what if it takes saying yes? And you said yes, you got curious, you were a little bit uncomfortable, but you said, let me actually check this place out. And you heard things, you saw things, we all did, but we didn't stop there. We went from listening to actioning. And that action step for us, I didn't know, I like eating food, I don't know about restaurant. I mean, I don't know how to do food outside of eating it and consuming it. But we said, what if we could do something? And for us, it was a food mart in a food desert. Happenstance. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I called you on a Monday or maybe Tuesday, Brittany, and you showed up on Thursday, 48 hours later.
Yeah.
You know, and so this whole idea is like, what if the change that we really want to see does in fact start on the inside? It starts with us, with our ideas, with our saying yes, with our getting curious, staying open to what may think conversations and ideas that may not be comfortable or we may not have heard of her experience. And so really this book, Change Starts With You, the subtitle is Following Your Fire to Heal a Broken World. I think we all have that fire that it takes to heal this world. And it's not just racial injustice or social injustice. It's also in our marriages, at our schools, with our friends.
Just in our communities, you know, the people that we see every day. And it's sad because I feel like it's so true. We're in a world right now where there's so much going on and there's so much that's trying to tear everyone apart. But if we all could just take a beat to, like you said, listen to one another, even when we don't necessarily agree or may not be on the same page, but listening to try and understand that person, having a little empathy for someone who is different than you. And that was my daughter, my oldest, she's 6, and they different words each week that they're working on and learning about. And this past week, you know, we talk every night and she was saying one of them was perseverance. And I said, oh, that's great. What a great word that you're learning and teaching. What did you learn about perseverance? What does that mean to you? And empathy. And her way of describing empathy was putting on, this is how she explained it to me, a 6-year-old's mind, but putting on someone else's shoe. I said, okay, so explain that to me. Well, wearing someone else's shoe to understand what they are going through so that you can have empathy for that person. And I was just so proud of that moment of just listening that this is what we need to understand and learn. You need to be able to have empathy, to listen, and to bring us together so that we're not always bringing each other apart, because we all, the differences we may have, we're way more common and alike than we think, especially when you think of just the goodness that people have in their heart and want to make a difference and change and bring people together. So your book. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to get a copy, but you said it's coming out in March. So we got a couple months before it's heading out. So make sure you let people know like where they can find it, when it's coming out, and we will be on the lookout. And I know I'm going to be ready to get my copy. That's for sure.
Yes, your copy is going to be coming very soon. So it's available for pre-order right now. So if you go to samachobook.com, samachobook.com. You can pre-order it today. Or if you go to Amazon, just type in Change Starts With You, or just type in my name and you'll see it, Sam Acho. You can pre-order it right now. And if you do pre-order it, you'll be able to get access to bonus content. You'll get a chance to get the first chapter early before anyone else. You'll get a chance to also get the study guide as well. But it releases officially on March 7th. So that's the day it'll be out in every single store, and then you'll be able to get your full copy. And that's the best place to find it. Now, obviously, Brittany, people like you and Jason Hayward and Jason Kipnis, who was with us, Jonathan Tate from the Chicago Blackhawks, right? Like Mitch Trubisky, all these people who are involved, like y'all got to get your copies early. And so like, I'm going to do some stuff as well where if people listen or you follow me on social media, I'll be sending out advanced copies as well. And so social media is just real easy. It's just THE Sam Acho. So THE SAMACHO. You can follow me there. But I think this book really will help us get a better understanding of the changes that we can make in our lives. And it's not just this idea of like, oh, I'm going to wake up one day and make a change. There's like, number one, practical steps to make change. Number two, there's like real dialogue about like the difficulty and the doubt and the fear and sometimes the shame that we have to overcome, like these internal struggles. And number three, there's this idea of like this faith aspect of, man, what if my purpose of being on this earth is to do something bigger than just make as much money as I can and put it in my 401k. Like, what if God put me on earth to be a conduit of change? Like, what if that's why? What if part of the reason I'm here is to help someone else understand? My friend, I mentioned Cindy, she's 71 years old and she lives in Houston. And the long and short of it is, she's a white lady who said, man, I feel your pain, Sam. Or people like, Brittany, I heard your story, but what can I do? And she had a friend who she was sitting with who essentially they were at dinner and the friend made some racist remarks. And she said to her friend, like, that's not okay to say, like, we're supposed to love. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Cindy did lose a friend that day, but she gained an army, right? She gained a better understanding. She's starting to realize, man, like, I can speak up, or better yet, I can show love and show up. And so that's what the book's all about. Change Starts With You. Following Your Fire to Heal a Broken World. It releases March 7th, and it's available for pre-order on Amazon or at samachobook.com.
Awesome. Well, I love it. It's great. And you continue to keep doing amazing things and making change, and it's amazing. So we got that. I got to talk a little football with you now. So, well, I want to start by talking about the Bears. So for all my Chicago audience and everyone, now, yes, it was not a great season. 3-14 record is not what you want. But the thing about the Bears that's exciting to me is I feel like the team is making some power moves right now. It started with hiring Ryan Poles last year. And then with this recent hire of Kevin Warren, I was like, when I heard his name in the rumbling, I'm like, gosh, this would be huge. Man, with the Bears going to make a move like this? This could be big. And then when they announced him as the new president and CEO, I'm so excited about the Bears and what they have their future ahead of them.
Brittany, you are so on point. Start with Ryan Poles. So last year, or end of the 2021 season, the Bears fired their head coach and their general manager. They went upon a coaching search. But before they hired their coach, they hired their general manager, Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles has a history in Kansas City. He was a scout, all this stuff, assistant GM for the Kansas City Chiefs. He was with them when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, when they got traded for all these great offensive linemen. They built this dynasty that has gone to 5 straight AFC championships. He's been with them when they had the first overall pick in the draft, all the way to when they had the 32nd overall pick. So we've seen them building, rebuilding, and none of the above, all the above. And then he came to Chicago. And then his first move was to find a head coach. So he got this coach, Matt Eberflus, right? Building structure, etc. But then all of a sudden, things started to happen. And I get it. The season wasn't, quote, a success. But one of the most exciting things now as a fan outside looking in, the Bears have the number 1 overall pick.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's leverage. You can go get whatever you want. Or you can trade and get more picks. The Bears have the most cap space in the entire NFL. I think they have like $70 million more in cap space than any other team.
Yeah, $118 million, I think they have in cap space this year. Yeah.
Bingo. So like a lot more than any other team. I was meeting with Ryan Poles a few months ago. I was speaking to some of the rookies on the team and got a chance to meet some of the Jalen Johnson, the Watchmen Man of the Year nominee this year. And I got a chance to talk with Ryan Poles, and we chatted for a bit. One of the things he mentioned is he said, hey, we have room to spend. We're going to be able to bring in people. And people were upset when the Bears traded Robert Quinn. People were upset when the Bears traded Roquan Smith.
Roquan, yeah.
These are like the stalwarts, the power moves on the defense. And it hurt Ryan Poles as well. He wanted to keep those guys. But he also wanted to do what was best for the team in the future. So as much as it hurt, like this tough pill to swallow, all of a sudden Roquan got his new contract. He's successful. We're excited for him. Robert Quinn is and Eagles doing great. Obviously, he's injured, but Eagles, and they had success. And all of a sudden, you're on a team with the number one overall pick, an exciting young quarterback, a team with a lot of really young rookies, exciting Jaquan Brisker, one of the all-rookie team, all these Kyler Gordon, all these guys. And then you have room to spend and to build. Yeah. And then you hire Kevin Warren. I mean, think about it. Bears are thinking about moving stadiums, right? Going to Arlington Heights. Kevin Warren has built stadiums before. He was the CFO or the COO for the Minnesota
Vikings. Yeah, when he was instrumental in that stadium. Yeah. They're lining. The blocks are lining up together. It looks like it. I mean, it just. The future could be so big and so bright for this team. And I have to say, I have to mention that when Kevin did, a few days after it was announced that he was president and CEO, he picked up the phone and he called my mother. He called my mom. She didn't know the number, so she didn't pick up right away, but he left a message saying that it was Kevin Warren, new president of the Bears, and he just wanted to talk to her. He's excited about this new position. Called her and just talked to her about how, you know, her relationship with the team, with the Bears, how thankful he was for that, you know, the legacy that my dad had left on and what us as a family continue to do. It was just the most wonderful conversation. He didn't have to do that, but he did. He picked up the phone because he wanted to tell her. And he's like, when you're back, she's here in Arizona with me. When you're back, I want to sit down. I want to have dinner with you. I want to talk. It was just such an amazing, and it just felt so nice to see. And just the direction that I think this guy is going to take this team is going to be to the next place. I know people in Chicago might be a little upset that the Bears might be moving from this city. Yes, that is where they have been, but I think this is what this team needs to do to evolve to the next level. And they're thinking about making all these moves for their fans, for the people that have been there supporting them for all these years, for their players, for their former players, this whole Bears family and team of what they're going to do next. So change isn't always easy. Sometimes, like you said, it's uncomfortable, but this is what they're doing, I think, for the best future of this franchise. And I'm so excited to see where it's going.
Yeah, and if I could even just, to your point, Brittany, people give George McCaskey a lot of flack. Oh, yeah, we need a new owner. We need this. We need that. But if you just look at this last sample size, hired Kevin Warren, who's the perfect position, right, for the new stadium, and also somebody who knows football. This guy was a commissioner of the Big Ten, right? He knows football. You hire Ryan Poles, young rising star, right? These are the hires that he specifically made himself. And if you want to talk about, people talk about diversity, equity, inclusion. People talk about the Rooney Rule in the NFL. There are not enough black coaches or general managers or whatever. Change starts with you. Mm-hmm. And George McCaskey is hiring the best people for the job. And all of a sudden, wow, there's a black president and CEO of the Bears, a black general manager. And notice, we got to that last. Like the first thing was, look how great these are perfect fits. But all of a sudden, one person's using whatever he has to make a change. And not everyone listening is an owner of a team or whatever. But what do you have? Yeah. Whose ear do you have? What have you been through? What experiences can you share to make these little tiny ripples that'll eventually change the world?
Yeah. And I love George. George is my guy. He's amazing. He's just so loves this team. And it's just one of the funniest guys I know too, but he's doing great things. And I'm so proud of that. Like I said, I'm so proud of this organization and see where it's going. We are winding down on time. So this is going to be quick. This is our 2-minute drill that's coming up right here. We have AFC, NFC championships. They are set coming up this weekend. Who's your picks? Let's start with the Chiefs and the Bengals.
I'm going Bengals. The Bengals, so Joe Burrow's 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes. He hasn't lost to him. That's a crazy stat. Though Patrick Mahomes' stats are way better, Joe Burrow hasn't lost to this team. He was in the Super Bowl last year. Beat him twice last year. Beat him to get to the Super Bowl. So I'm picking Joe Burrow and the Bengals. They've won 10 in a row, haven't lost since October. So I'm going Bengals.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see with this injury, too, with Patrick Mahomes. How bad is it? I'm looking every day on Twitter. I'm like, has anyone seen him? Is he out there on the field? Is he walking? Is he limping? What's going on? All right, and then NFC, we've got the Eagles and the 49ers. This is going to be a great game, but who do you think has the edge?
Does I don't know count as a valid answer in our 2-minute drill? In fact, I need to go
yes!
touch on the first half. I mean, like, San Francisco has won, I think it's 12 straight games. Their rookie quarterback, Brock Purdy, last pick of the draft, has won 7 straight. Their defense is the number one defense in the NFL. They completely shut down everyone they played against, shut down the Dallas Cowboys running game. So that's who they are. Then you go to Philly. Oh, Philly's hot too. Can I reserve my answer till later?
Yeah, we can go back.
All right,
so
all right.
You're not sure on that end, but you're going with the Bengals. So yeah. Is there any way that you think, like, who is coming home with the championship here in Glendale?
Okay, so I'll do this. I'm going to pick Philly for this Philly-San Fran game. I'm going to pick Philly. I'm picking Philly. There we go.
So now fly, Eagles, Philly, fly.
Fly, Eagles, fly. Now you got Philly versus, and part of it's really Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts doesn't turn the ball over. Jalen Hurts is tied for third in the NFL in touchdowns, right? Like, I think rushing touchdowns. And he's a quarterback, right? 13, I believe it is, rushing touchdowns. Over, I think, 3,700 passing yards. Like, this dude is MVP caliber. So now you got Philly and Cincy.
We're counting down. They might shut us down.
All right, I'm picking the Philadelphia Eagles. No, all Cincinnati right. Bengals. No,
oh,
Philadelphia
oh.
Eagles. Bengals.
Okay. You heard the pick.